Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman. And Walker Wildman, as I mentioned, came in even with a migraine, but he has departed. It was debilitating. So any of you who have had problems with headaches know what that is like. So please pray for Walker. Pray for Tim, who is quite ill with bronchitis. And we're just dropping like flies here. So Chris Woodward, news anchor for American Family News, is staying on for a half an hour to help me because it seriously takes two people to handle Steve Jordahl, who is a reporter, news anchor for American Family News, who has come across the street to plague us with yeah, bad news of what's happening.
I want to know who's who now.
I'm Fred.
Who's who?
Okay,
I'm sitting in
for Tim.
Okay.
Walker was sitting in for me, but he's gone. Chris Woodward is now sitting in for Walker, who was sitting in for me, and you're just in for you.
I'm in for me. So you're Tim and you're Walker.
No, I'm Tim and he's Ed.
Okay. Well, who's on first?
I'm here because Ed asked me.
All right, Steve. What great news do you have for us of things that are happening that just thrill our hearts and minds?
I went and saw the movie Unplanned, I think, over the weekend, actually on Friday or Thursday. It was really, really good movie.
Really good movie.
Oh, my goodness.
Let me ask you this, okay, because I got to screen the movie here before it came out. Because they wanted AFA, wanted to know if AFA approved of it, if we would, you know, play some of the ads and stuff on American Family Radio. We're very careful about those kind of things, even if they're made by Christians. So a lot has been made of the fact that it received from the Motion Picture Association of America an R rating.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, feel free to disagree. I thought the R rating, even though I believe the MPAA gave it an R rating for political reasons, and I disagree with those kind of shenanigans. I thought the movie deserved an R because of the scenes of abortion that I don't think a 12 or 13-year-old should be able to watch without the parents' permission. Now, that was my opinion. Feel free to disagree. What was your take? But I do agree. It's an outstanding movie, and I don't always say that about Christian movies.
Well,
this is one of the best that I've seen.
Here's my take, and I want to be consistent because I could say that, and it could be argued that there are a lot of PG-13 movies that have worse content.
Right.
If those movies come along, though, we would probably be arguing that they should be rated R because of the worse content.
Right.
So I'm on the borderline between whether or not this should be an R rating or not. So it doesn't have any of the R. It doesn't have any of the foul language that you would associate with an R-rated movie. It doesn't have any of the sex and nudity or any of that graphic content that you would associate with an R rating. It does get fairly graphic in terms of showing the abortion procedure and the aftermath of what's left of the baby after an abortion, and it's disturbing.
That was stunning.
Stunning and disturbing at the same time, yeah.
No, absolutely. And I'll say this, that I think it's probably for young people who are mature enough, it is probably something that a parent might want to sit down and watch with their child. Now, obviously, I don't think 6, 7 years old, absolutely not. If you were a parent, you said, I'm going to show it to my 7, 8-year-old, I'd rebuke you in the name of Jesus. But as they get older, but it's an outstanding movie. It's based on a true story.
And it is.
I absolutely tell Christian parents and Christian people, you ought to see this movie. And it is disturbing, but you know what? Abortion is disturbing. So anyway, I didn't mean to hijack your commentary.
No, I agree with that, and it's a good discussion starter if you have a family or this is something that you are concerned with your kids, etc. It might not be for very young children,
right?
But then again, it's true. So, but the pushback is interesting. I'm trying to find my there's been several TV channels that have refused to publish ads for this movie.
Right.
They
These
say
are cable.
Because of the R rating.
Yes.
But we wonder, you know, whether or not it's because of, like, Lifetime and...
Hallmark.
There we go. Hallmark. There it is. I gave it to you. That's why I couldn't find it. Like Lifetime and Hallmark and the Travel Channel, Cooking Channel, Food Network.
All these cable channels. They're saying and ordinary run.
Right.
The
Discovery suite of channels say that it's due to the sensitive nature of the movie, so they're not selling time for this advertising. Even so, it opened up with an outstanding first week. It was number five at the
box office,
despite a low theater count. For example, the number one movie, Dumbo, I saw it too. Don't go. It's not worth it.
By the way, just as a side note, that's a very rare Disney bomb.
Yeah.
Very rare.
And folks, this isn't from AFR, but there's nothing in the movie that would offend kids. It's perfect for your family, for your little kids. The Dumbo movie should be rated G if it isn't. There's a fire in there, and there's some
scary
peril,
yeah,
as they say. But it fell flat for me.
Okay, let's come back to Unplanned.
Unplanned was number five at the box office.
Made $6 million?
Made $6 million. It's about as much as it cost to make the movie. And in the first weekend. So Dumbo, the number one movie, was at 4,200 theaters. The number two movie, Us, which is a horror flick, which was filmed in the town I grew up in. I haven't seen it. I probably won't. Was at 3,700 theaters. Captain Marvel was in 3,900 theaters. 5 Feet Apart was in 2,800 theaters. Unplanned came in fifth at 1,000 theaters.
Huh.
So a lot less, a lot fewer theaters, but still the people are coming out to see it. Despite the fact they're not accepting ads. And then we find out, over the weekend, something fishy's up with Twitter. Because a lot of the people...
Talk about Dumbo. Twitter.
Twitter's a Dumbo.
Elephant never forgets now. Be careful what you say.
I'm not on Twitter, so I don't care.
A lot of people who signed up to follow the movie, Unplanned, and I think the Twitter hashtag is Unplanned Movie, have found that they have been all of a sudden unfollowed. They've been disconnected from, they can't follow the movie. I followed it, excuse me, and I currently am still following it, so maybe they've caught themselves, but...
Well, I'm looking at a Fox News story. 50,000 Twitter followers suddenly disappeared, and right. Twitter officials called it an error.
Oops.
To which I say to all these Twitter officials, simply this, Dumbo. I don't know. I'm not getting much traction on that.
As new curse word, Dumbo.
In fact, the actress who plays Abby Johnson in the film, this is a true story about Abby Johnson who worked for Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Abby Johnson herself was unable to follow her own movie on Twitter. She says, this is ridiculous. And Ashley Bratcher said, I think it's outrageous. I've never experienced anything like this in my life. She's talking about Twitter's approach to this, a clearly biased approach to this movie. I don't buy any of these excuses anymore from these big socials. They are clearly against conservatives and Christians. But if Ashley Bratcher has never experienced anything like this in her life, she needs to become an AFA follower and get our action alert, and then she'll get her couple will run over.
Right. I've met Abby Johnson, a wonderful woman, very sincere in her transition, in her now worldview that abortion is murder, and is doing everything she can to save the precious lives of unborn children, but... No, it's a very well done movie, and
I recommend people go see it. Unplanned is the name of the movie.
It's going to make a lot on DVD sales. That's my prediction.
Yes, and maybe going forward, word of mouth will help it.
Sure.
At the theaters, and maybe it'll expand in its reach in terms of the number of. But this is I would put this right up there. I love the movie Bella in terms of being a pro-life mm-hmm. movie. And that's short. That's not all that long. But also like October Baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I like this one. These are and Unplanned, this is just a fine movie. And if you care at all about the pro-life issue, this is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Really is.
And this is the first one, I think, that was meant as a pushback to the abortion story. I think Bella and the other one you mentioned,
October Baby,
I think they happened to be pro-life. It felt like to me like they happened to be pro-life, but it wasn't the main purpose of the movie.
Well, that is not true about either of those. They're both intended to be pro-life movies.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
The guy who wrote and acted in it, Eduardo Verástegui, mm-hmm. he came here to AFA and he wanted, you know, yeah. anyway.
Back.
So,
my point is
they take a different approach in showing the pro-life angle.
Yeah.
This movie, Unplanned, yeah. is, as we mentioned, is very clear as to what abortion does. These other two movies are pro-life. But
I was thinking the Ellen Page movie. What was it?
Juno.
Which was also unintentional. That's the one that was unintentional pro-life.
Yeah.
Ellen Page, who has gone off the deep end as far as, well, anyway.
All right. Anyway, Unplanned. I think you ought to go see it, folks. And
absolutely. I recommend it. I recommend
yourself a solid.
Personal recommendation for the movie.
Yes. All right. What else?
Congress is getting impatient for seeing this Mueller report. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but William Barr, as you know, last week sent his letter summarizing the Mueller report and found that there was absolutely no collusion or coordination with Russia as far as the election goes. As far as obstructing the investigation, he left that up to Attorney General William Barr, who said that he didn't find anything in there worth charging. Well, the Democrats are having none of it. They want to see the whole movie. They want to see the whole report, 3,000 pages, I think, and they want to. They're going to pick it apart piece by piece. They are going to relitigate this whole thing in committee and in public,
right?
Because they are bound and determined by hook or by crook, mostly by crook, I think, to find something to pin to Mr. Trump. They are not going to let it. They've invested way too much in this Russia hoax, witch hunt, right. to let it drop and to take the investigation for where it is going to go. So this morning in an op-ed in the New York Times, Mr. Gerald Nadler, who's from New York and it's one of the committees that's going to be doing a lot of investigating into Mr. Trump, wrote that America is done waiting for the Mueller report, and he's demanding it, not a summary, but the full report by tomorrow. He's not going to get it, but he's demanding it.
Holy smokes.
So, and I say this because it hurts my heart a little bit to see what this country is going to be going through in the next 2 years. I always thought that the whole Russia investigation was started on the basis of a little bit of a deception because of that FISA warrant document that they used.
Oh, the dossier. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. The dossier. That
you'd lost me there for a second. I wasn't sure what word you were.
Sorry. Dossier was the word I was looking for. Yes. It's a French word, oddly.
Yes.
which you speak.
But so I always thought that the whole investigation was started on a bit of a ruse and that every time that Mr. Trump tweeted out against it or hit out against the report, calling it a witch hunt, saying it, that it's because he knew he was innocent. And if your family and your associates and your reputation and your business and your world was being brought down by a fake, phony political game to try to get you, that I'd be mad too. And I'm not sure what would come out of my Twitter account. I'd probably be asking God to forgive me quite a few times.
Well, let me ask you guys this. You didn't have any sound connected to this that we needed to hear, right?
No.
All right, so let me ask you both of you guys, you know, weighed in here. Do you think with the Mueller report coming out and William Barr saying, I don't see anything in here that, you know, deserves any kind of charges and follow-up prosecutions, do you think if the Democrats continue to tear this apart, because by law now William Barr has to redact some of the names in this, so Jerry Nadler's demand that he receive the full report unredacted by tomorrow, or even redacted by tomorrow, that's clearly not enough time. William Barr's not going to, but I think William Barr has said by the middle of April they can have that available. Do you think Democrats hurt themselves going into another election year by continuing this process after the Mueller report appears not to have found anything that William Barr can use for a follow-up prosecution?
Well, they certainly won't hurt themselves amongst their base, because what they'll do for the next 2 years is they'll say, well, it didn't have this, or the real investigations in New York where the state attorney general and other people are investigating Trump there. But I think what they will do is cause a lot of the independents to say, you know what, I was kind of giving you guys a break here, but things aren't as bad as you made it out to be. The economy is picking up, so the president has delivered things. And really, I think the swing vote is where you will see Democrats hurting themselves, because they do need more than just what they're going to bring in at the polls, especially in a divided presidential field where you've got umpteen candidates now trying to get your vote, and all of them are in favor of basically the same things. So to answer your question, it won't hurt them amongst the really liberals out there, but the people that they do need to vote for them to help win an election is where it's going to hit them.
I would love to see a poll about how many undecideds there are. How many people out there really don't have already a set in the mud or a set in cement opinion about President Trump that's not going to change no matter what Mueller or anybody says? I know people who just, even if this thing comes out squeaky clean and he's innocent and everything was bad, they say, well, yeah, but everything he's done in office since then is just not the temperament we want. They're always finding some reason not to like this president. So if there is, I agree with Chris that it's not going to affect the bases of either party. Mm-hmm. My only question is, how much is that middle? How many are in that middle to sway? Because I don't know.
Well, the third party did get a, I'll say, sizable number of voters this past election. But what we could see is kind of the never Trumpers merging with the always third party vote and maybe trying to back somebody next year. A lot can happen between now and November of 2020.
Well, and sure. I will say this, just to throw my own two cents in here. I agree with you guys that, and my own personal sense is that even though there are a lot of people who say I'm independent, they already lean one way or the other. I think that's been my experience with people. But I will say this, that the percentage that you need to, because our country is so split down the middle, the percentage that you need to change an election probably isn't all that much. 2-3% in some of these battleground states can be enough to change the whole electoral college.
Ohio, those kinds of decider.
Those kinds of states can turn on just a small, relatively small percentage. So anyway, I'm sure we'll be see polls until our eyes start to bleed. You know, the closer we get,
that happens to you as well.
Oh yes,
I thought
my
it was
goodness.
Just me.
We'll see. We'll be polled out by the time 2020 comes around. But anyway, so we'll have to wait and see.
Indeed, indeed.
All right. What else you got?
Speaking of the Democrats for 2020, Mr. Biden is the top. He has not yet announced, but it's all understood that he's going to, and he's the top candidate. If they put him against all the other Democrats, he'll win, and he'll win in most polls against President Trump. But he's facing a little bit of a headwind now because he's been alleged to have done some inappropriate manhandling of women, shall we say. He's the one that is always going up, coming up behind and putting his hands on the shoulders, giving back rubs to, kissing on the head and on the cheek, and just
and little, whispering in their ear.
A little
you know,
too
kind
close,
of,
a little creepy, creepy uncle. Uncle Joe. has come out upon occasion, and he's taken even from some of his Democrat opponents who probably want to see him out of the way. So it's interesting to see where this is going to go, whether or not the Me Too movement has the stomach to go after one of its own.
Well, listen, I don't think this is a winning argument for Republicans, that's for sure, because, you know, President Trump's sure. past is, you know, far more egregious, mm-hmm. statements he's made and things like that than what Joe Biden has done. But on the other hand, to your point, Steve, it may make it difficult for him in the primaries mm-hmm. because Democrats have forced themselves to uphold a standard that really may not be possible for anybody, if you're going to go back, in other words, 20 or 30 years
yeah.
and say, well, you did this. Well, back then, people maybe were not as aware of, men were not as aware of how uncomfortable made women feel. But Democrats are holding themselves, have to hold themselves to the standard they wanted to put on Brett Kavanaugh and others. It could make, I don't know, does it make former Vice President Joe Biden decide it's not worth the hassle, I'm not running?
Well, you know, you brought up Kavanaugh there. What did we hear ad nauseum throughout the whole
Believe
Kavanaugh?
The woman.
Believe women.
Right.
So this puts them against the mantra, if I said that correctly, mantra, whatever. This puts them up against that because now you have to pick and choose. And
right.
if you're going to pick and choose, well, then that wasn't an issue with Kavanaugh.
Right. Although Kavanaugh was accused of egregious things.
Right.
I'm not giving credence to yeah. any of these accusations. I'm
sure.
just saying that what Joe Biden, and this apparently was, this is the Nevada politician, she asserted that Biden kissed her on the back of the head, made her feel uncomfortable. That, listen, if it was my wife, I'd have said, hey, pal, back off. Mm-hmm. The back of that head, like the front of her head belongs
yeah.
to me, all right? You know, and the rubbing of the shoulders
right.
and all that, it's creepy. And I know he's 76 years old, but you sit there and you go, dude, you should know better, okay? But these aren't things that okay. You're showing a picture now.
This is when Vice President Biden and President Obama went to. They were kind of out on tour, and they went to like a Shake Shack
on tour.
And here is Biden hugging up on some little lady with a biker guy looking at him like. Hey, back off, pal. And this is one of 11 billion examples on
yes,
the internet.
Leave it to Chris to bring pictures to the radio.
Yes, he is. That's,
do what I can.
That's creepy. Now, I'm just saying, I don't know if it arises to the standard of the Me Too, you know, whatever. But this is going to give him some real problems. Although against President Trump, you know, what are Republicans
going to say? By the way, he ran for the president the first time in 1988.
Yeah, that's right.
Here we go.
All right. Do you have anything that's nice?
Have
anything, you know, squishy or, you know, hug a puppy kind of thing?
Not really hug a puppy, but down under in Australia, it's April Fool's down there as well.
Yeah,
McDonald's
wow.
decided to get into the spirit of April Fool's, and they have introduced the McPickle.
Which the is McPickle?
The McPickle, which is a bunch of, it's not two all beef patties, but lettuce, tomatoes, onions, pickles, and pickles, and pickles, and pickles on a sesame seed bun. They're replacing the meat with pickles, and it upset some of their customers. Some of the customers down under said, that's my hamburger. They made it just for me. They're not doing it.
They're not really doing it. It was a joke?
It was a joke.
And people obviously didn't get it.
Yeah, where can I get it?
Who'd want to order a pickle sandwich?
They once had a hula burger.
I used to eat
flavorsome pickles layered between melted cheese, ketchup sauce, and toasted sesame seed bun.
I used to eat cucumber sandwiches when I was in college. All right, folks, you're not interested. We know it. Stay tuned for more great radio on American Family Radio.
Thought.
We'll see you tomorrow.